So let's get some analysis on this developing story tonight about the Justice Department and some type of, at least according to court documents, some type of pay for pardon scheme. Joining us on the line is author and law professor Kim Whaley. She's with the University of Baltimore. Her two books are What You Need to Know About Voting and Why, and How to Read the Constitution and Why, and she's with us live on Skype. Kim, as so often is the case, we need you to first work as a translator here. What's going on with this scheme? Nobody's named in it, and nobody seems to be charged. So what do we know tonight?
So what we know is that there was a subpoena that was issued in connection with some kind of criminal investigation. We don't know much about it. Documents and phones and things like that were collected. The Department of Justice then assigned a separate team to go and look through the documents to make sure there was nothing in there that was protected by the attorney-client privilege. When they were doing that, that's when they found information about a potential scheme to basically pay the White House for money in exchange for pardons. And then they went to the judge and they have asked for the ability to look through more of these documents in connection with basically what came about by happenstance in response to the subpoena. The court then said a lot of these documents are not covered by the privilege. And then the court's decision to that some of the documents are not covered by the privilege, that's what she made public. And that's how we found out, in connection with the decision around the attorney-client privilege, that this issue came up in the first place.
So with rare exception, the wheels of justice turn pretty slowly. Is it likely that the president will be long out of office before we learn more here?
We don't know. I mean, I think it is somewhat significant that she decided to even make the fact of this investigation public. Remember, Michael Flynn was just pardoned. And another judge in the same court has to make a decision with respect to whether to dismiss those charges in light of the pardon. I think he will. But this is kind of a message to the public and to the rest of the bench that, listen, there could be some funny business going on here, that if Mr. Trump decides to pardon himself, decides to pardon all those around him, I think it'll raise for the first time really since President Nixon the question of the scope of the pardon power. Some scholars think there are absolutely no limits on it, but I happen to believe, and other scholars believe, if it's used in a way to commit crimes or to cover up crimes, then that's certainly not within the scope of what the framers assumed the pardon power would be used for. The notion goes back to ancient Greece and Rome. And the idea is it's one of mercy and justice and making decisions in the public interest. For example, President Carter pardoned draft dodgers with respect to the Vietnam War on the theory that, listen, we need to tamp down all this stress and anxiety around the war. So as president, you can use the pardon power to basically do what's good for the public. That's very different from using it to cover up crimes. And if this does turn into a pay for pardon scheme, that would be of epic historic proportions in terms of the history of the office of the presidency.
Finally, Kim, and you touched on this slightly, the idea of the president pardoning himself and next of kin, his oldest children, for example. What problems does that pose, or is that something he absolutely can do?
One thing you cannot use a pardon is to pardon for future crimes. So he couldn't say, my children are pardoned forever for the future of their lives with respect to a federal crime, potentially. But sure, he could issue a prospective pardon without identifying any particular crimes, because we know this because, you know, Gerald Ford did this with Richard Nixon. So that's the precedent in that regard. As far as a self-pardon, you know, there are two minds on that. Some scholars believe that it's supposed to be a transitive type of experience. That is, the president pardons somebody else, that it's not to be used to pardon himself. The pardon power itself references impeachment as an exemption. Cannot pardon for something that you are impeached for. And bribery, of course, is a basis for impeachment. So I think there's an argument there that a pardon for bribery, if that hypothetically were to happen, president takes a bribe, pardons himself, that would clash with the spirit of the pardon power as well as the impeachment clause put together. But you know what, Dimitri, like with so many things, with Donald Trump in particular, the question isn't so much what the law allows, but what people can get away with. And if he were to self-pardon and that weren't to come before court, which it wouldn't come before court unless the Biden administration decided to prosecute him notwithstanding a self-pardon, that then becomes the new tool in the presidential toolbox. And that's a problem, because then we're basically giving a green light for presidents to potentially commit crimes in office with impunity. Can't prosecute them while they're in office because a DOJ internal policy forbids it, and they can self-pardon themselves so you can't prosecute them outside of office. Of course, the pardon power does not cover state and local crimes. So whatever Mr. Trump does, it wouldn't protect him from potential liability, say, out of the Attorney General of New York or the District Attorney of the City of New York.
Really appreciate hearing from you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Dimitri.
That's Kim Whaley. She is a University of Baltimore law professor, also author of a couple of books, How to Read the Constitution and Why, What You Need to Know About Voting, and Why the Justice Department Investigates a Possible Scheme Tonight to Collect Money in Exchange for a Presidential Pardon.